Welcome to the jungle. A very good Thursday morning to you. Live in Southern California from the Quicken Loans Studios, I am Jim Rome. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hope you're having a good day. We have lots to get to. Let me start you off with a telephone number. We've got three interviews, but they don't start until later on this hour. So if you want to get through, you should try right now. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. I pretty much start every single program with those three ways for you to get involved. If you want to go to my Facebook page, do that as well. We're always posting videos and some of your calls there, too. In terms of the three interviews coming up in hour number one, Lee Jenkins, a senior writer for SI. That's coming up at 40 past. Then in the second hour, the head basketball coach at Nevada, Eric Musselman. Hour number three, New York Post MLB columnist Joel Sherman. Lots to get to. If you know what you want to talk about, you should take advantage of the opportunity and call right now. Where I want to start is here. And, of course, this is a sports show. It's a sports show, and everything that I talk about here today pales in comparison to the murder of at least 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. You know, for me, and this is why I'm starting right here, it's hard for me to care about the Lakers and the Pelicans or the Olympics or anything else in the world of sports when you see that kind of horror and you see that kind of devastation, when you see children running for their lives, when you see parents in the kind of pain that no parent should ever, ever have to experience. When you hear the story of an assistant football coach, Aaron Feist, who was killed while protecting and helping students, reportedly using his own body to shield three of them. Golden State head coach Steve Kerr was asked about it yesterday, and yet again, he summed it up perfectly.
It doesn't seem to matter to our government that children are being shot to death day after day in schools. It doesn't matter that people are being shot at a concert, at a movie theater. It's not enough, apparently, to move our leadership, our government, the people who are running this country, to actually do anything. That's demoralizing. But we can do something about it. We can vote people in who actually have the courage to protect people's lives and not just bow down to the NRA because they've finance their campaign for them. So hopefully we'll find enough people, first of all, to vote good people in, but hopefully we can find enough people with courage to actually help our citizens remain safe and focus on the real safety issues, not building some stupid wall for billions of dollars that has nothing to do with our safety, but actually protecting us from what truly is dangerous, which is maniacs with semi-automatic weapons, man's just slaughtering our children. It's disgusting.
Golden State head coach Steve Kerr. And as horrifying as that was yesterday, it's even more horrifying to remember how many times that this has happened. How many times have I been on this show and said, this is a sports show, but, and then talked about a shooting in Las Vegas, Orlando, Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook. The list goes on and on and on. And we all know what happens next. We know the drill because we have been here before. There's a mass murder in a school or a movie theater or at a concert. News crews set up. Interviews are done. Everybody says thoughts and prayers. We read about the people whose lives have been ripped away, and then nothing changes. We say never again. And then it happens again and again and again. How many times do we have to see this? How many kids need to be murdered in schools before we say enough is enough? And for those of you who want to say, hey, this is sports radio, I come here to escape from that kind of stuff. I get that. I understand that. I hear you. I would like nothing better than to be talking about sports all 3 hours today. I would love to never, ever have to talk about another shooting ever again. And yes, this is a sports show. It is not a news show. But it's also not an ignorant show. And I can't ignore what's going on in the real world. So I'm not going to sit here and say nothing. Because saying nothing and doing nothing leads to this happening again and again and again. Something has to be done. Because we've done nothing every single time and more people are dying. Our children are getting slaughtered. Now, I've done a lot of soul searching. Trying to figure out what I can do. And I hope you're all doing the same. I still don't have the answer. But I know what is not the answer. Just saying thoughts and prayers and then changing nothing. Something has to be done. This is not normal. And we're allowing it to become normal. It is not normal for parents to wonder if their kids are going to come home from school today. It's not normal for football coaches to be shielding students from bullets. It's not normal for children to go to school with the possibility that they'll get gunned down in a classroom. But we're making it normal, and we can't do that. So I'm going to still do today's show. I'm going to still do my interviews. I'm still going to have our topics. Except know this, none of these topics, and I've got strong opinions, and I'm eager to get to some other topics, but none of them were as important as this one. So that's where I started today. We could talk about anything you want. We could talk about this. We could talk about something else. But I felt it was very important to start the show right there. Because right now, I can't think of anything more important than addressing that issue. 1-800-636-8686. That's your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You can also find me on email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the other topics, and there is no convenient segue, is there, coming out of something like that. But in terms of the other topics, Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo, can't say that I was surprised by any of that. You knew there was going to be an issue last night. You knew there was bad blood. You knew that Rondo still was upset that IT was going to get that tribute. Never mind that the tribute never actually happened. Never mind that the two of these guys are beefing about a team that neither one of them play for. So I want to get into that. Neither one of them made it out of the first quarter last night. We will talk about that. Valentine's Day, as it relates to sports. I've got a story on that. The hoodie, getting nice on social. Speaking of Valentine's Day, we will cover that. And a sad day for Raider Nation. It looks like Seabass is done. Sebastian Janikowski apparently is not going to be brought back for a 19th season. That according to Adam Schefter. And remember, it was John Gruden who was the coach when Al Davis drafted him. And John Gruden reportedly did not want to use that first pick or that 17th pick overall on Janikowski. So what happens? Gruden comes back. He gets a job. And one of his first orders of business is to get rid of Seabass. Sad day. And for those of you who say you should never, ever burn a first-round pick on a kicker, the fact that the guy was there 18 years shows that it was the right pick. The fact that they ran him out there to try a 73-yard field goal shows that it was the right pick. 1-800-636-8686. Talked about a very unusual story earlier this morning on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q 106.7 FM here in LA. You know that every single athlete knows that when they enter whatever field of play it is, they're risking injury. They know what they signed up for. But I don't think that anybody knows, much less Devin Powell, exactly what he signed up for. Ruptured junk. That's a phrase that I can't unhear. Ruptured junk. That's coming up. And a lot more. Lee Jenkins, a senior writer for SI, joins me at 40 past the hour. Eric Musselman is the head basketball coach at Nevada. They're having another big year. He joins us in hour number two. Joel Sherman is an MLB columnist for the New York Post. He joins me in hour number three. Again, I started the program with what I thought was the most important way to start the program. If you want to talk about that, I'm here for that. If you want to talk about something else, I'm here for that. You know where to find me. We'll take a short time out, and we will come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
My thoughts on Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo last night. Quick email reads, Dear Jim, thank you for talking about the shooting in Florida. There is no but in the conversation. We're all Americans, all on the same side. And until we stop senselessly killing each other, everybody should be talking about this. Longtime listener, thanks for continuing to use your voice for good. Andy in Buffalo, New York. All right, Andy, thanks so much. I've got Lee Jenkins coming up in 20 minutes. But first, Pelicans over the Lakers last night, 139-117. That's a game where Anthony Davis went off. 15-for-18 from the field, 2-of-2 from deep. He made 10-of-11 from the line, 42 points, 15 boards. I mean, an absolutely absurd night. But the real story was not AD going off. The real story was Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo going off and getting tossed. And it was oh so predictable. So with under a minute left in the first quarter, Rondo gets teed up for hitting Thomas in the face with a forearm. Thomas hits the technical, and then on the ensuing inbounds pass, they both bump into each other. And then they kept bumping into each other until the refs intervened and threw them both out of the game before the end of the first quarter. So you know things are pretty bad when two guys are getting run inside of 12 minutes.
Now again, Rondo and Isaiah wrestling a bit, still yapping at each other. Watch that if you want to.
Rondo has to be very careful.
Uh-oh, look out, there it goes again. I was going to say the referees went right in there.
There obviously is some bad blood between those two because Rondo has really been into body of Isaiah.
Look at Rondo.
He's kicking them both out.
They are both out of the game.
Thanks to Sportsnet LA. So they're both out of the game, and they didn't make it out of the first quarter. So the question, why is a guy in his first season with the Pelicans beefing with a guy playing in his second game as a Laker? Because of the Celtics, of course. And because of tribute videos. Because that makes complete and total sense. A guy who's played with the Pelicans, Bulls, Kings, Mavs since 2015... is going all street justice with it over a tribute video for the Celtics. I mean, sure, why not? It feels like everything this season is about tribute videos. Now, you will recall that Rondo took great exception to the plans for Isaiah Thomas to get that tribute video. In fact, I'm not sure anybody has taken anything more seriously than Rondo took IT's tribute video. When talking about the Thomas tribute, you might recall Rondo telling the Telegram and Gazette last month, quote, what has he done? When told that Thomas led Boston to the conference finals, Rondo said, oh, that's what we celebrate around here? End quote. And then he chased it with, quote, this is the Boston Celtics. This is not the Phoenix Suns. No disrespect to any other organization, but you don't hang conference titles. Do we hang going to the conference finals? What do we hang here? End quote. Now, that's some pretty serious lumber. But according to IT, Rondo was not done swinging. From the moment that he came onto the court, he was picking IT up full court and being very physical with him, hitting him in the face a number of times. And according to Isaiah, bringing up the tribute video once again.
For whatever reason, he's an upset guy about me. I don't know what it is, but it's fine. Like, I can't control that. He kept bringing the tribute up when I was the one that shut the tribute down. So, I mean, I'm far past that.
Well, you might be far past that, but Rondo clearly is not far past that. In fact, I can't see a day anytime in the near future that Rondo's going to get by that. Even though Rondo has played with four different teams since he left Boston. Despite that fact, he's still not past it. Despite that fact, he's bringing up the tribute video. That has got to be the most bizarre smack talk ever. And not just throwing verbal jabs, but actual jabs over a tribute video. Look, we know Rondo is a really different dude. We know Rondo is a really intense dude. And he brings a different kind of intensity to tribute videos. I get it. Kind of. To a certain extent. I mean, Paul Pierce was his teammate. They did win a ring together. He's going to have Pierce's back. I understand that. But my man, you got to let that go. You all have to let that go. That whole thing was a non-story that turned into a several weeks long story, and it's still going. Rondo is not with the Celtics anymore. Hasn't been for quite some time. Has played for four teams since he was. This guy's not with the Celtics. Isaiah's not even with the team that he was going to be with when he was supposed to receive the tribute video. That, by the way, he still has not received. Pierce got his tribute. Thomas did not get his tribute. Can we move on? Seriously, can we move on? Two dudes beefing about a team that neither one of them even play for anymore. Turn the page. I mean, I can't figure out if that was the best or worst beef ever. Like, did I want that thing to end right this second or to never end? It's unbelievable, though, Rondo. He was picking this guy up full court. I mean, there was no doubt that that was going to end like that because Rondo is still bent. 1-800-636-8686. A couple of dudes beefing about a team that they do not play for. Your thoughts? I'm looking for some telephone calls. Yesterday was not a great telephone call day. Hopefully today starts off a little bit better. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Canton, Ohio. Kurt. Good morning, Kurt. Good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Jimmy. How are you doing today, my man?
Good. Really well. Thanks.
I just wanted to first give a shout-out to Trapper. Haven't heard from him in a little while. I hope you're out there listening, man. I hope you're doing well. Tramps like us, baby. Second thing is I totally agree with what Steve Kerr said. I think that the main problem is that nothing's going to change in this country. Everybody deserves the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, every amendment applies to everyone. But there's no reason that military-grade weapons should be allowed to be put in the hands of a 19-year-old, or really anybody for that matter, but especially a 19-year-old who obviously had psychological problems. That stops. I don't think this is going to stop. And trust me, Jimmy, it's a sad day in America, but America is a good place, and we're gonna fix this eventually. I don't know when we're going to do that, but it's going to happen someday. Much love, my man.
All right, Kurt, you got it. Thanks so much. I mean, this is essentially my whole point, and I do agree with Steve Kerr, too. Steve Kerr is an amazing leader, and generally when something like this happens, Steve Kerr is somebody who's not afraid to speak his mind, and Steve Kerr is right on point. You know, when you say that one day this is going to get fixed, when? This is the whole point. Nothing is changing, and it keeps happening. We need more than thoughts and prayers, and then nothing happens because nothing changes. And then when nothing changes, it happens again. It's the 18th school shooting in this year alone. I mean, I know so many of you listening right now are parents. What kind of conversations are you having with your kids right now? It's a really difficult conversation, but a really critical conversation. A conversation you have to have. You have to have. So again, this is a sports show. This is not a news show, but this is not an ignorant show. And I will do the show. Lee Jenkins will join me at 40 past. Eric Musselman will join me next hour. Joel Sherman's going to join me in the third hour. We're going to have some fun. We'll talk about some other sports topics, but there's no way that I could start this day and this show without acknowledging that. Something has to change, and it has to change quickly. Rome, what is the big deal between Rondo and IT beefing over the Celtics tribute video? Happens all the time. Signed, two 38-year-old dudes fighting over their sophomore girlfriends at the 20-year class reunion. Aaron in Omaha. This one was a little bit different. I understand why at that time there was that whole conversation. Like, why did they schedule a tribute on the same night as Paul Pierce's tribute. Personally, I had no issue with that. I mean, who cares? Paul Pierce's number was going up in the banners. They were going to give IT a tribute for 90 seconds. Who really cares? Well, the Truth did. Not on my night, not on my time, not on my watch. But as much as the Truth cared, even he didn't care about it as much as Rondo did, apparently. And Rondo was bent that he was getting any kind of tribute. And then Rondo was bent that he was getting a tribute the night that Paul Pierce was getting his tribute. But while the rest of the world seemed to kind of turn the page, Rondo is still bent. Pierce got that tribute the other night. Remember when the revamped Cavaliers went into Boston and they beat them down and Pierce's number went up? That should have been the very end of all this. But you knew it wouldn't be. You knew Rondo was not going to let it go. And the second he hit that floor with that edge, you knew he was not going to let it go. And the second he caught him with that one forearm shiver, you knew he wasn't going to make it out of the first half, much less the first quarter. Dear Rome, the beef between Rajon Rondo and Isaiah Thomas is like the beef between Matt in L.A. and Orion in Waterford. No one wants it.
You rolling-eyed little nitwit.
It's actually a line that I had at the time. When Orion in Waterford came in and smashed Matt in L.A. and did it twice in about a week, then Matt in L.A. came back and beefed in return. I said, you know what, fellas, with all due respect, this is the beef that nobody wants. This is the one jungle clone-on-clone bit of crime that nobody anywhere wants. That's Tony from Iowa City. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Lee Jenkins. He is all over the NBA, as you know. Get his thoughts about the deals that went down at the trade deadline and where that leaves everybody for the second half of the season. That's coming up in 10 minutes. But first, I've got a sports update for you on this busy Thursday morning. Here is the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Lee Jenkins coming up momentarily, and we've got some really good topics for him. Do not go anywhere. Quick tweet, at Beer Sports TV tweets. I understand the voicemail is your podcast cash cow, but I really hope you keep the interview portion. It's a nice little segment. Molly Bloom has an incredible story. My man, you flipped that thing on its head. Believe me, the voicemail portion of that is not the cash cow. In fact, that entire thing is not a cash cow. I wish it were. I really wish it were because I'm busting my ass on that podcast. And I'm really proud of the original content, the original Jim Rome podcast. I've got an amazing one coming up next week as well. I don't want to give it up yet. I don't want to tease it yet. But I'm as eager to sit down with my next guest as almost any of them. And if you look at the list of the 24 episodes we've had, I've been pretty eager to sit down with every one of these guests, including Molly Bloom. And she was incredible. But just understand that. That voicemail, not only is that not a cash cow, I'm sure that thing cost me money in a number of different ways, but it lives to fight another week, barely. So make a note of that. If you've not done it yet, go to iTunes. If you're an Android user, use all the normal Android routes to find that podcast. It is free, it's original, and it drops every single week. As I'm efforting Lee Jenkins, what we're going to talk to him about are the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are different. We know that. The Cavaliers are better. We even know that. How much better are they? Are they good enough to get out of the East? Also, another big topic around the NBA right now, sleep. How important is sleep? How are guys getting sleep? Are they getting enough sleep? What do they do to go to sleep? Hey, can I tell you? Almost nobody I know gets enough sleep. So I'm really curious to see how NBA players do it. As promised, we are joined right now by a very good friend of the program and a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Lee Jenkins. Lee, it's so great to have you on this morning. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Jim?
Good. Good to talk to you, Lee. So take me back to last week when the Cavaliers completely revamped their entire roster in a matter of hours and those deals were being announced. What were you thinking at that time?
Jim, somebody wrote it perfectly, and I don't want to plagiarize them, but it felt like somebody described it like playing Scrabble, and you don't like the pieces you have, and you just throw them all back in the bag and take seven new ones. It felt like that's what they were doing. Like, and I was out there in the preseason, and I felt like that was going to work. Like, LeBron James was surrounded by his peers, by people who sort of thought the game the way he did, who've been through battles the way he had. And it kind of makes me wonder just about team building in general and the kind of dynamic you want in your locker room, because clearly those guys didn't get along. Clearly it didn't work. And what Kobe Altman and his staff did was they surrounded LeBron with players who are not his peers, really not his equals. They're younger guys, and they're guys who are likely more probable to just follow him and to sort of, you remember when Tristan Thompson in those early days, it almost looked on the floor like he was trying to impress LeBron, like he was playing for him. And just in these first couple Cavaliers games, some of these younger players, it's the same sort of vibe. It seems like they are happy to follow in his wake, knowing that he could take them to a place they haven't been. Whereas a lot of those players before the Cavs had, they had already been deep in the playoffs. Maybe that's not what drove them anymore.
Lee Jenkins joining us. You know, Lee, to that very point, you tweeted something and you said, quote, in irony of LeBron's career, he seeks the super team but doesn't really need one. A half a dozen useful NBA players who can move and shoot are often enough. So in part, you explained what you meant by that. But what's that say about LeBron and his abilities as a player?
You know, and I should have qualified that with like lineup data, because when you look into this, when you look into the advanced numbers with him, a lot of times the most effective lineups with LeBron are LeBron and four role players. LeBron and a bunch of shooters and a couple guys who can defend okay on the wing. Now, in terms of bigger picture, I realize in order to win the championship, they've needed that secondary kind of star ball handler, Wade in Miami, Kyrie in Cleveland. But when you see the smaller samples, a lot of times it isn't LeBron and the stars. And I also wonder if by surrounding himself with all these superstars, you sort of create these more difficult, more tense situations in your locker room. You know, guys like an Irving situation, wondering, because he does take up so much of the oxygen and so much of the wattage in an organization, that, you know, this may be a more healthy dynamic for him. This is really, by playing in all these super teams, what he's done is he's surrounded himself with a few stars and then a bunch of guys who make the veterans minimum, who are usually washed up and are there essentially just to shoot. This is the first time in a long time he's had guys who are 24 to 27 years old, who are in their prime, who can run a little bit, who can defend a little bit, and who may be more likely to give more on the defensive end in order to please LeBron James.
Lee Jenkins, senior writer for SI, joining us again. So, Lee, it's still early in the life of the new-look Cavaliers. It's a very small sample size, but how do you think they stack up now against the rest of the East?
Yeah, I don't want to overreact to it, but anytime he makes the finals every year. So as long as his supporting cast, what I was trying to get at when I was saying kind of the irony of his career with the super teams, is I don't think he needs a lot to make the finals. I think that guys like Rodney Hood and Clarkson and Nance, he can get them there. Now, as far as getting over that hump, getting over the Warriors, you look at this team and as good as he is, he's not going to be able to match all of those Hall of Famers. But I don't really know where he can go to do that. I just don't know where the situation exists for him now or in the future to really vault the Warriors. I don't know if it exists for anybody. I mean, the most likely scenario, I suppose, right now is Houston. But even they, I'm not talking about for a LeBron destination, but for a team that could beat the Warriors. But even they would just have to be insanely hot and win games with such high scores that, you know, I mean, we're talking about something that would require probably one of the great upsets in modern sports history for a team to take out Golden State, whether that's a LeBron team or a team that's somebody else.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins. All right, so what about a LeBron destination? All these things that we're talking about right now and the moves they made at the deadline, what's it all mean in terms of LeBron's future in Cleveland or elsewhere?
I think that pick is going to have great resonance, that Brooklyn pick, because they're going to be able, after the draft, they have about a week or so, or it could even be on draft night after the picks are consummated, they're going to have an opportunity to move that pick. And that is an opportunity for them. He doesn't want to play with 20-year-olds, but they could move that pick and maybe get him another star. Now, their tax bill, and Brian Windhorst from ESPN had a great story about this today, their tax bill is going to be through the roof. But if anything, I think the deadline should be encouraging for Cavs fans and for people who want LeBron to stay in Cleveland, because it was an opportunity for Gilbert to show that, yes, he was willing to take on more money. He's willing to mortgage, you know, a little bit of necessarily that long-term future that they've been worried about for the present, which is clearly what LeBron is more worried about. But I think the rubber will meet the road, Jim, with that Brooklyn pick. And whether or not they are able to move that for somebody he feels like can help him in the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, this is someone who is highly cognizant of his window, of his prime. And I'm not saying it's close to closing, but he's trying to maximize the few years he has left.
Lee Jenkins joins us. Lee, one more thought about LeBron. How big of a role is Paul George going to play in LeBron's decision-making? And if you had to guess right now, where do you think George is going to be next year?
I think he's a big specter because there just aren't that many marquee free agents left. And I don't know that he's going to, that LeBron would want to go somewhere as, like, let's say we're talking about the Lakers and be that first domino and then wait another year for another free agent to come there. So I think George looms large, especially with the Boogie Cousins injury. And they don't have like a close friendship. I think they have an amiable relationship. I don't know that they're the kind of guys who are going to be talking all the time, maybe the way Wade and LeBron were back in 2010. So, and I feel like Paul George has had a really, there's no dysfunction in Oklahoma City. That team has gotten along well. Paul George likes playing with Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. It won't be anything that drives him out of Oklahoma City. To me, it'll be more a question of, are they good enough? Do they look in the playoffs like a team where he can look at it and say, yeah, in a couple years, this could be a team that wins the title? Because that's what Paul George wants. And he will not shy away from the idea of, if he can form a super team or be part of a super team elsewhere, and it is the Lakers, that's something he's going to look at. But I really would not rule out Oklahoma City in that equation.
Lee Jenkins talking all things NBA, including this. Lee, before you go, you had a great piece, I thought, about sleep and what NBA players do to get it. First of all, how big of a problem is sleep in the NBA? Like, what kind of hours are these guys keeping, especially when they're on the road?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's huge, I think, in all sports, but probably most the NHL and the NBA, just because you have the 41 road games. You've got these charters landing at 2 or 3 in the morning. Some young teams, they make them do these shoot-arounds really early. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge factor, and you have guys who are wired from competition, just wired naturally. I mean, I've had guys tell me, remember Rajon Rondo once told me he would watch the replay of every Celtics game at 2 in the morning and then call Garnett at 4 and review it over again. I mean, Kobe never slept. Blake Griffin was thinking of going to the UCLA sleep study, like to sleep in the building to kind of get his sleep analyzed. And some of these guys are trying this. I wrote about this new drink. It's called Somm. And some guys are trying this. A couple nuggets, especially Trey Lyles, has had success with it. It's, you know, a certified, fairly natural drink that doesn't leave you groggy in the morning. I feel like I'm doing an infomercial right now, Jim. But it's something that some players are looking for because clearly they're desperate. I mean, I think that some of these guys just are always exhausted. And I think that probably goes for a lot of professional athletes. But there's a morning culture of the NBA. It's a late-night culture. But then because of these morning shoot-arounds, these guys end up groggy a lot.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins. All right, Lee, so you've got two games tonight before the All-Star break, and at the moment the Clippers are a half game out of the playoffs despite trading away Chris Paul before the season and Blake Griffin during the season. How much of the credit then goes to Lou Williams?
A lot. I mean, he's a professional scorer, and when you're trying to do something like they're doing, which is build for the future but be competitive in the present, it's guys like that who keep you in games. And he scores a lot of points. He's given that team, a young team, kind of an air of credibility. And Doc Rivers has done a really good job with that group. I mean, they have some guys on that team, some D-League, G-League type guys who they've been able to develop and who've played fairly significant roles for them. And they're trying to thread the needle, Jim. They want to be a little bit like Houston and Boston were, where they're building but also competing. They don't really want to do the full tank. And I think this season shows that that might be possible. I mean, what free agents want to see, they don't want to see necessarily 20 and 21-year-olds. they want to see, you know, 25, 27-year-olds who are playing competitive basketball, who are in the playoffs, who they can feel like I can, you know, help them get to the next place. It can help make them maybe a top four, top five seed in the conference. So that's what the Clippers are trying to do. They're trying to not bottom out, but still sort of be a destination, not necessarily this summer, but certainly in the summer of 2019.
Now, before I let you go, he spent his first seven seasons in Philadelphia, and there's this amazing story about his time in Philly when, as you point out, the legend of Lou Will was probably born. He was at a red light, and somebody approached him with a gun drawn, Lee. What happened next, and what does Lou make of that now?
No, well, Lou just asked to buy the guy a burger, just asked to buy him dinner. And only somebody with the magic of Lou Williams could pull that off. The guy just dropped the gun, and Lou walked him over to the McDonald's and bought him dinner, didn't sit with him for dinner. But the guy recognized Lou Williams, and there's sort of a – he has sort of an aura, I think, about him that comes – I don't know if it's because he's able to juggle two girlfriends at the same time or if it's because he's been friends with a bunch of different rappers through his life and, you know, been on different tracks, but – there's something about Lou Williams, a magnetism that he has that I think has always sort of taken him to kind of a different spot in the NBA. And right now I feel like the Clippers look at him almost as a leader, which is an unusual role for somebody who for his whole career has been essentially a six-man gunner. And it kind of calls into question sort of what you make of those sorts of players, those Jamal Crawford-type players who do get pigeonholed pretty early into their careers as, hey, you just supply offense off the bench. Well, this season, Lou Williams has definitely been more than that.
You know, Lee, I've taken so much of your time, but how about one quick thing before you go? I've got to ask you about Rondo and Thomas last night getting into it. The fact that both these guys were ejected before the end of the first quarter, and then after the game, Isaiah Thomas said that Rondo is still irritated about the tribute video. isn't that great, Lee? Knowing Rondo, does that surprise you at all? And then what do you make about all this nonsense over tribute videos?
The tribute video that never was, too. I mean, right. There's been so much about this, and it never even obviously happened. There has to be a tribute video now for everybody, Jim. It's gotten a little wild, but Rondo, I think it's interesting how it was a long time ago. We're talking about 10 years ago that team broke through and won it. Rondo's been on all these different teams and all these different situations, but there's something about that 08 Celtics team, crustiness, a legacy that they had that I think must live on. It must live on in those guys' minds, especially.
Lee Jenkins joining us, the senior writer for Sports Illustrated, talking all things NBA. Lee, thanks for spending so much time with us today. And it's always good to have you on the show. Lee, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that.
You got it, Lee. Appreciate you. He is best in class, Lee Jenkins. Again, that thing about Rondo, that happened so long ago, but there's something about that team. There's something about that group that broke through. There's something about those Celtics. Very clearly, Rondo. Okay, number one, Rondo is a different dude. We know that. Let's be very clear. Just put that over there for a minute. Different cat. But then there is that team. And then there's that team and its relationship to Ray Allen. The whole thing is so weird and so awesome because weird is awesome. Like, Rondo won't let it go. He will not let the tribute video go, and it's a tribute video that didn't happen. And yet he was still willing to get ejected over that tribute video because he's so objected to this guy getting a tribute video. A tribute video that he never got. And to Isaiah Thomas's point, a tribute video that he himself made go away. If Adam Hawk is walking something into the studio himself, I guarantee it's Tiger-related. And it is. All right, so he's at the Riv at the Genesis Open. I've got that update for you on the other side of this break. I've got Eric Musselman, the head coach of Nevada, coming up next hour. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and you're listening to CBS Sports Radio and watching CBS Sports Network.